It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve on this Friday. On this day in music history, we dip back to 1973. For those of you counting at home, that's 50 years ago today. Gladys Knight and the Pips starting a two-week run at number one on the singles chart with this tune, Midnight Train to Georgia. The group's 18th top 40 hit and first number one in the U.S., won the 1974 Grammy Award for Best R&B Vocal Performance by a Duo, and has become one of her signature songs. Midnight Train to Georgia, number one on this day back in 1973. We're joined now by Bill Wirtz. He's Senior Policy Analyst at the Consumer Choice Center. That's consumerchoicecenter.org. Bill, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also an op-ed recently at The Hill regarding the environment and regarding a different op-ed written by presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., where he laid out his case for the candidacy, but also talked a lot about the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, and his issues and problems. Briefly, if you could, for people who didn't see the original piece, summarize the beef, I guess no pun intended, that Robert Kennedy has with the EPA, and we can talk about perhaps where he got it wrong.
Well, you could think that maybe RFK is still salty over the fact that he wasn't appointed as head of the EPA in 2009 by President Obama, because back then he thought that everyone who has a different view on climate change to his should be considered a traitor. But essentially what he says in his piece is that all the major agencies of the U.S. government are beholden to big industry, and therefore the people should be replaced. And if he were to be president, he would replace them with activists. And these are people who see the world the way he does, which means banning all the pesticides and then leaving farmers with the problems that creates.
Let's talk a bit about the independence needed at the EPA, because as you said, Kennedy essentially says activists are what is needed at the EPA. And you write in your op-ed about the importance of independence and the ability of EPA and administrators there, and guaranteeing their independence is key. Why is that so important?
Well, that's important because the system in the United States is that the regulatory agencies go through the different chemicals that get approved in agriculture, and they look at, is there any harm to the environment and human health? And then they make an assessment, and that is outside of the political decision-making. So these people are scientists that look at all the varying studies from all around the world. They do their own tests, and they assess whether it's safe or not. Now, if you interject into that process by appointing an activist that, goes in with the mere assumption that everything should be banned because, RFK believes that chemicals such as atrazine makes the frogs gay, then of course, you have a biased institution. And I think that just, goes against the entire premise of the system, the way it's built, which is a much better system compared, for instance, to Europe, where there's always a political battle after a safety assessment on whether it should be approved or not. And I think that's why European agriculture also doesn't work as well as American agriculture.
That's actually an interesting angle. Let me ask about that a little bit, because you're based, I believe, in Belgium, so you have a little more experience, or have some experience, I should say, with the way things are regulated and controlled in Europe. How does the U.S. EPA compare in its effectiveness and wisdom to agencies in other countries in Europe?
So the regulatory agencies are similar in themselves in that the European Food Safety Authority, EFSA, and the EPA both do assessments that often reach similar conclusions. But what is different is the political decision-making, where very often activists that are already represented in European governments believe that they know better and that therefore everything should be outlawed. So, for instance, in American supermarkets, you can have foods that have been derived through GMOs and gene editing, which is innovative technology that was incidentally also developed by a European, but that is illegal in Europe. And so we have quite a backlog on innovation in Europe because, we think we know better and we think that the Americans don't know how to eat and our food is so much better and it should be heavily regulated. And as a result of that, the farmers are really struggling in Europe and are actually a lot more subsidized in Europe because they have to be than they are in the United States. And I think this just sort of shows that in Europe we have an anti-innovation perspective, while in the U.S., agriculture is not just more efficient, it is actually also more sustainable. So if you're an environmentalist and you care about the carbon footprint of your food, you should look to the American system, not the European one.
Bill Wirtz with us from the Consumer Choice Center. ConsumerChoiceCenter.org. His op-ed is up at The Hill, which is titled, In Defense of the EPA's Independence. Now, RFK and others who might be sympathetic with his argument point to the fact that EPA regulatory agencies are in contact with chemical manufacturers. Is that, you know, on its face, something that we should consider suspicious behavior?
We should be worried if they weren't in touch with the manufacturers. I mean, to find out how a chemical is derived from and what its properties are, you don't just run tests, but you also ask the people who made it. And this is the same thing for the FDA when they approve pharmaceuticals. It would be very strange if you wouldn't be in touch with the researchers who worked on it. So I think what RFK is doing here is it's very simplistic. It's just looking at, oh, there's a link, somebody made a phone call, when in reality that's part of their job. So I think undermining these agencies that do very serious and important work is undermining the debate we should have about this. If you want to get into the details on which chemical properties are justified to have in certain pharmaceuticals or chemical products, we can have that debate. But I believe that RFK doesn't have the necessary scientific knowledge to actually have that conversation.
Bill Wirtz is the senior policy analyst for the Consumer Choice Center. You can find more about them and him at ConsumerChoiceCenter.org and read the op-ed in The Hill at TheHill.com. Bill, thanks so much for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. This portion of The Steve Gruber Show brought to you by Patriot Foods, with a huge sale happening right now. Go to PatriotFoods.com to find more. Use promo code AMERICA, save 10%. If you spend $100, well, shipping's free. Support the American farmer at PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Scott Bertram in for Steve on The Steve Gruber Show.
As the weather gets colder, it's a good idea to layer up with scarves, hats, and mittens. Another layer of protection this season is to get your flu and COVID-19 vaccines. You can get both vaccines at the same time. Talk to your healthcare provider or learn more at michigan.gov/COVID-flu-RSV and layer up for some added peace of mind. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.